This podcast is a presentation of Sandhills Community Church. For all the latest happenings, check us out at our website at www.sandhillschurch.org.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for keeping us safe this weekend. And Lord, some of us wish maybe we had more snow so we could sled down a hill or something, but we thank you that we were able to be safe. Thank you that probably most of us were able to stay warm, no power outage. So Lord, we thank you. We praise you. But Lord, we praise you for your son who came. We celebrated his birth just a few weeks ago. Let us not forget the significance of his coming to save us. And so Lord, as we come and worship you through music and also through your truth, Lord, help us to be open, whether we believe in you or we're skeptical of you, help us to listen with our hearts and our minds to hear the truth. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. Good morning. Did anybody want more snow? Could we have like a group? Could we have a group therapy moment? Did you want to skip this morning? You know, I kind of did too, but we didn't. So, good morning. So, how many of you got something cool for Christmas? Anybody get anything cool for Christmas? Yeah, what'd you get in the you in the back?
I got a wetsuit.
A wetsuit. Oh, nice. Okay, I didn't know that was for like a shower or something. Anybody else get anything cool? Anything cool? Yeah.
Family vacation.
A family vacation. Where'd you go?
The Caribbean.
Nice. And you didn't take me along to make sure that you guys were having your devotions and that kind of thing, okay? Anybody else get anything cool? Anybody else get anything? Yes, ma'am.
A Roomba.
A who?
A Roomba. A Roomba.
What's that?
Robot
oh. Okay, very nice. Anybody else? Anybody else get anything cool? What'd you get? I see a waving hand.
A Star Wars candy cane.
A Star Wars candy cane. Impressive. Very impressive. Well, did anyone travel over Christmas? Anyone travel anywhere? Did you guys go anywhere? Okay. I know family vacation. Yeah. Yeah. Stop rubbing it in. I went to Ohio, you know. You went to Aruba. Okay. All right. So I got a quiz for you, okay? And the quiz is really easy. It's your favorite movies during the holidays, okay? Favorite funny movies. Do we have those up there? Okay, so I'm going to read these to you, and I'm going to have you talk to each other for about 12 seconds, and then we'll get a group moment to see who voted on what. This is would be what you consider the funniest of the Christmas movies. Elf, Home Alone, National Lampoon Christmas Vacation, How the Grinch Stole Christmas, and Charlie Brown Christmas Story. All right, talk to each other for 12 seconds. Go. You're not talking to anybody? Talking to yourself. Yeah. Good. All right. How many of you said Elf? Put your hands up. All right. Big group. Okay. How many of you said Home Alone?
All right.
National Lampoon Christmas Vacation.
Yeah.
All the old people say that one. That's right. That's what they do. I know. I'm old. I know. How about How the Grinch Stole Christmas? Yeah, it's not that funny. Charlie Brown Christmas. Okay.
Christmas Story?
I'm sorry, it's not in the five. I'm sorry. It looks like Elf. Let's try it again. If you could only vote for Elf or Home Alone, let's try Elf. Okay, let's try Home Alone. Oh, Home Alone gets it. Okay. And that's good because that's my favorite one too. I think the reason I like it, if we could connect that Home Alone with some of the Christmas story, is if you've never seen Home Alone, Kevin is Macaulay Culkin, and he's been left accidentally by his parents and his family. And so he has to guard and manage his house. Okay, and he is there, and he's got these guys called the Wet Bandits, okay? And there's a scene where they're trying to get in the house, and Macaulay Culkin drops a tarantula on the dude's head. And do you remember that? And he screams like a girl. Like a funny, funny screaming girl. Maybe a strange screaming girl. And it's just a great scene. But I love that because he's like a shepherd. He's like guarding the house. And I want us to go back one more time to the Christmas story. If you have a Bible, I'd like you to turn to Luke chapter 2 or on your phone app, Luke 2. And I don't know who you identify with most in the Christmas story, but I really love the shepherds. I really do. And as I was studying about this the last 2 weeks, I really have come to just love why this was put in the Bible and why this was put in the text. So I'm reading from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. Luke 2, 8 through 20. Now there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. We've just been told what they do. They live out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over the flocks at night. Now an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring the good news of great joy that will be for all the people." Verse 11, "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger." Verse 13, "Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests.' Now when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us.' Verse 16, so they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, just as they had been told." Now, this text gives us what I would call like three dramas. And each drama is significant. Now, you should have a little bulletin outline. If you have that, the great thing about a bulletin outline is you know when the preacher is getting close to the end. All right, that's sort of the subliminal message there. You know when I'm getting to be done. So drama one is about the shepherds. Drama one is about the shepherds. Now, who are these people? Well, we know from the text, it says that they were out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. So if you want to connect it, shepherds relate to a group of an animal, and shepherds relate to
sheep.
Thank you very much. Now, what do you know about sheep? I think most of us know that sheep are probably pretty dumb, okay? Maybe very dumb. I remember seeing a movie once of about 100 sheep. And they came, and one of them looked over the cliff and decided to jump, and all the other ones followed. And they were all like, and they were all just all died. Now, sheep are not very smart, but at the same point, as I was kind of studying this text, it appears that maybe some of these sheep were the best of the best of the sheep that would actually be brought in to be sacrificed in the temple. Now, we know that shepherds, according to history and according to biblical history, it was a 24/7 job. It was a nonstop job. And so you can't be slack. You can't be lazy. And you're not only protecting the sheep from predators, but you're not getting much sleep. You're pretty restless. It was not a job that was ambitious. It was not, didn't have many stepping stone opportunities. Not many people said, what do you want to do when you grow up? I think I'll be a shepherd. I mean, it wasn't a job that people looked forward to. At the same time, they were very diligent. As culture was viewed from that day, shepherds were actually looked down upon. They were considered outcasts. Some of them were considered thieves, or that they would steal from one another. And yet at the same time, there's something marvelous about this group of people because they live in anonymity. They live in a desert. And so because their job is 24/7, because they're not looked upon as very popular, they're actually considered as lowly. And I relate to that a little bit. And maybe you relate to that a little bit. I mean, I felt that way in middle school. I felt that way a little bit in high school. I didn't always fit in at times. And sometimes I felt like I was an outcast. And yet what I love about this text is that in the Gospels, the very first people that were invited by God to encounter this baby Jesus were these outcast shepherds. I love that. Now, there's a scripture in 1 Corinthians, and do we have that to show up there? It says this: take a good look, friends, at who you were when you got called into this life. I don't see many of the brightest and the best among you. Not many influential, not many from high society families. Isn't it obvious that God deliberately chose these nobodies, quote, to expose the hollow pretensions of the somebodies? What God's saying here is that He's not just after the famous. He's not just going after popular people. He's not just going after the best of the best. He actually is looking for those who at times feel like nobodies. You ever felt that way? The shepherds felt insignificant. And here's what I want you to get this morning as 2017 is here. God is after those who feel insignificant. God is after those who feel inadequate. God is after those who feel lowly and lost and outcast. The shepherds. Here, I believe that no one's unimportant to God. I believe that everyone matters to God. And because these outcasts, these shepherds, were also ceremonially unclean, they were also isolated and loners and forgotten. They were treated with contempt, the Bible says. And yet they were brash and bold. And I love this about the shepherds. They're looking for wolves. They're looking for anything that could hurt the sheep. And so they're protectors. And God decides to show up to this group of people. And what I want us to look at this morning is their reaction and how they respond to this encounter with infant Jesus. Because I believe there's some stuff there for us as we approach this new year and as we enter this new year. So drama one is the shepherds. I love what Max Lucado says. Max Lucado says this. He says, the announcement of Christmas went first to the shepherds. They didn't ask God if he knew what he was doing. Had the angel gone to the theologians, they would have consulted their commentaries and books. Had he gone to the elite, they would have looked around to see if anyone was looking. Had he gone to the successful, they would have first looked at their calendars. Lucado says, so he went to the shepherds, men who didn't have any reputation to protest or to an axe to grind or a ladder to climb, men who didn't know enough to tell God, to tell those angels, hey, angels, you don't sing to sheep, and to messiahs aren't found wrapped in rags and sleeping in a feeding trough. I love this motif that throughout the scripture is the theme of shepherds. When I think of Psalm 23, the Lord is my, and then later on, we think about 1 Corinthians 12 that says, in the body of Christ, there are spiritual gifts, teachers and prophets and apostles, pastors, teachers, and shepherds. And for some of you, you might have a gift of shepherding, maybe not in the professional sense, maybe not in the paid sense, but in the sense that you care for people, you want to protect people, you want to connect with people. And so there's some of you, when you hear a friend sick, someone's in the hospital, you run there because you have a shepherding heart. Isn't it interesting that shepherds, as much as they were looked down, in John 10, we have the motif of this. Jesus is called the good shepherd. Isn't that interesting? So we've got this motif of shepherds, but that's not the only drama we've got. We've got drama two. Drama two in this text is the angels. You've got shepherds and then you've got the angels. Now, who are the angels? Well, the Bible says that the angels appeared to the shepherds and the glory of the Lord shone around them and the angels said. Let's talk about angels for a minute. I don't know if you've ever, has anyone ever sensed the presence of an angel? Anybody ever sensed the presence of an angel? Okay, a couple of you. Anyone ever seen an angel? I have never seen an angel, but I had a friend in college named Michael Jones. We called him Buddy Love. And Buddy Love, he used to always tell me, and I believed him, I think, most of the time, he had the ability to see angels. And one day we were at Ohio University, and there was about 12 inches of snow, and he and I were walking, and we saw this car going up a hill, and all of a sudden the car starts spinning out of control. And I was like, Michael, look at that. Look at that car. It's like it's going to wreck. It's going crazy. And all of a sudden, the thing straightened up and went up the hill straight. I said, did you see that? He said, yeah, did you see it? I said, yeah, I saw it. He said, no, did you see it? I said, see what? He said, did you see those four angels? I was like, no, what? He said, there were four angels on the back of the car pushing it up. I said, you're kidding. He said, no. I said, are you on drugs? No. I said, you just saw four angels pushing that car up the hill? Yeah. And sometimes he would say to me, we'd be walking, he'd say, David, there's an angel right behind you. I said, wow. Now, you know, if you think that's kind of weird, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2 says this, entertain strangers, hello, because they might be what? Angels that you are unaware of. Have you ever been in a car wreck? Have you ever had an accident? You ever had something go wrong and your life was spared and you came out thinking to yourself, someone was protecting me. Someone was watching over me. Now, Jewish legend says that at the birth of every baby, there are 11,000 angels that are there. Now, I don't know if that's true, but it's a legend. That's why it's a legend. But what are angels and who are the angels? Well, the Bible says that they are messengers. In fact, the Greek word means messenger. They are messengers and they come with a message. And they're not only protectors, but they're messengers. And what we know from the text is they speak. They speak. So the angel says, do not be afraid. That's the first words out of the angel's mouth to a shepherd. Now, theologically, how much Bible these shepherds knew, we don't really know. We don't know how educated. If they were raised in a Jewish synagogue, they probably know some. But the fact that they're out there all day long just with stinky, smelly sheep, and all of a sudden, boom, you've got these angels that show up, that had to freak them out, don't you think? I mean, and it's bright. I mean, it's gone from really kind of dark to very bright. The light of God has shone through the angels. Now, the scripture says this. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. It seems like the dominant message of an angel is do not be afraid. And I bring you great joy and great news about a coming Messiah. Is there anything this morning as you enter into 2017 that causes fear? Is there any anxiety inside of you and nervousness and scared about stuff that's happening now or to come? Well, the angel says to the shepherds and the angel says to you this morning, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. God is with you. God is with you. Amen? God is with you in 2017. He is with you. No matter what the medical report said, no matter what's happening to your wife or your kids or your children or your spouse or your in-laws, God is with you. So you've got the drama here. You've got the shepherds. You've got the angels. And then the angel goes on to say this. It says this, this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger. And then a great company of the heavenly host appeared, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. So shepherds hear angels talk. They speak. Angels speak. Now, angels are higher than humans, and yet the Bible says they look into the things of God. They look into the things of salvation. So they're not human. They're supernatural. And the Bible talks about them a lot in the book of Revelation. It mentions that there's tens and tens of thousands of angels. And I'm assuming there's angels in this room right now. And I'm not talking about your wife or husband, okay? Or your grandma. I'm talking about there's probably angelic beings in this room. How do I know that? The Bible says the angel of the Lord encompasses those who fear him. And the angels come around those that fear God. So there's probably angels in this room right now. And it isn't amazing how we get so caught up in our culture. Like someone asked me this morning if I would pray for Clemson to win. I don't want to point him out over there. I don't want to point Dave out over there. But, and I love college football, but we see it so caught up in the moment, totally unaware that there's a supernatural realm of being going on right around us. I love it when Jacob says, surely the Lord was here, but I was unaware of it. Oh my. My prayer for 2017 for me and you is that we would become more aware of the presence of God, more aware of angels, more aware of what God's up to. Now, the third drama is Mary, Joseph, and baby Jesus. Jesus has already been born. Can you imagine, as a parent, how many of you are parents? Could I see hands? If you're a parent, Okay, keep your hands up. All right. Remember your firstborn. If you had a firstborn kid, put your hand up. You got a firstborn? Did you think that doesn't make any sense, does it? I didn't have my coffee this morning. How many of you thought when your child, your firstborn was born, that you thought this kid was special? Did you think this kid was special? You did. Doctor, you thought your kid was special? I thought my baby, you can put your hand down, man. I thought my baby Rachel was special. Do you have a picture of me and Rachel? You got that? Oh, look at that. Oh, you like that Kramer hair? You like that? You like when I had hair? You like that hair, flowing hair? Man, I thought Rachel was special, but I have come to the conclusion she is not God. You know what I'm saying? You know, that first couple weeks, you're just like in love with this child and you just can't take your eyes off this baby until the baby starts pooping a lot and it's all of a sudden the baby gets jaundice or he or she won't go to bed at night, just crying. And you start to realize this child is special, but this child is not God. But here's Mary and Joseph. And they know. I don't know how much they know, but they know this child is special. This God baby, this man, 100% man, 100% God in little human form, this is a God from heaven. They got to protect this baby. They have to watch over this baby. I mean, this baby's got to be protected, even though this baby is God. He's going to grow. And, you know, when I always think about Jesus as teenager, like, you just, don't you kind of wonder, did Jesus ever cuss or pass gas or, I mean, you know, we don't tend to think about those things, but he's 100% human, right? Say right? And 100% God, but these parents still have to raise this kid. I mean, can't you see the siblings of Jesus? Mommy, Jesus. Yeah, right. Mommy, Jesus made fun of me. Well, he should. I mean, but can you imagine being mom and having to judge your son and knowing that your son is God? It must have been a very interesting situation. How would you feel if you knew as a mom or dad that your special baby is going to die? You know, we parents, we can't wrap our minds around the fact. And we don't even like to go there. The thought of our children dying before us. It's like something you just can't wrap your mind around. It's something we don't even like to go with. I don't like to go there. But Mary started to hide these things in her heart because she intuitively knows, and this special kid, Jesus, Yeshua, he's going to die before her. And would you even want to raise this child knowing that this child is going to suffer, and this child is going to bleed, and this child is going to be put on a Roman gibbet and is going to be suffering and crucified for the sins of the world? It must have been overwhelming and mind-boggling. I love, again, what Max Lucado says. He says, how would you feel if you knew your child's life would be shortened by death? The omnipotent, in one instant, made himself breakable. He was larger than the universe, becoming an embryo. He who sustains the world chose to be dependent upon the nourishment of a young girl, God as fetus, holiness sleeping in a womb, the creator of life being created, God in the flesh given eyebrows, elbows, two kidneys, and a spleen. He stretched against the walls and floated in the amniotic fluids of his mother. Were it not for the shepherds, there'd be no reception. Now, how do the shepherds react? And this is my prayer for me. And this is my prayer for you in 2017. Is that I have a feeling that if you've been a Christ follower for a week, a month, a year, 20 years, that after a while, this Christian life can become underwhelming. And my prayer in 2017 for me and for you is that you will move from a place of letting life overwhelm you to allow God to become overwhelming to you. Not underwhelming, but overwhelming. Isn't it a marvel? We start to hear, we've heard the same stories over and over. We've read the same scripture, and we're like, yeah, I know that. John 3:16, yeah, I read that years ago. Yeah, I know that. And all of a sudden, the mystery and the marvel of this Christian life becomes blah, boring, blasé. The first reaction of the shepherds is awe. Everybody say awe. We use the word awesome. Awesome. Man, it was awesome. I just see Deshaun Watson, awesome. He is awesome, but God is capital A-W-E-S-O-M-E. And when the shepherds saw these angels, they were afraid. They were flipped out. They were terrified. In Scripture, when you see angels show up, typically you'll see it like the writer John will fall down. And the angel go, no, up. I am only an angel. You only bow down to God, the Most High God. My prayer for us in 2017 is that we will have a new and renewed experience. For those of you who never had a Christ encounter, I pray that today will be that day, the start of that day. That you will have a profound sense in 2017, a new awe for who God is. For the person of Jesus, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. I pray that for you. I pray that for me, that you will have this awesome experience with God in this year, that you will give your life to Jesus Christ, and you will make him not just your buddy, not just your savior, not just your forgiver, but you will make him your God, your manager, and that you will start to have an awesome approach to who God is. But not only awe, but the second A is action. Everybody say action. Action is this. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, tells you where they went back to, the shepherds said to one another, hey, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened. My second prayer for you and for me is that 2017 will be a time of action where you listen to God so well that you do what he tells you to do. Maybe he says it's time for you to leave that job. Maybe it's time for you to start something new. Maybe there's a group of people, your neighbors, that you've never really talked to about me, and it's a time of action. That's my prayer for me and for you, that this year will be a time of action. And then the last A is adoration. Everybody say adoration. Adoration stimulates the joy within us. The shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. My prayer for you and me, as we start to have this awe, as we act toward God in a way that's pleasing to Him, that you have a deep, deep, deep sense of glorifying and praising God every day. A new encounter. Some of you need a fresh encounter this morning. Some of you need a renewed encounter. And some of you, for maybe the first or second time, you need a new encounter this morning with God. And I see it all the time, even in the way I worship. Sometimes I'm just kind of like, So the band's going to come, and I'd asked them early in the week if we could have just a few more songs in the back end. I wanted some in the front end, but I wanted some in the back end because I really believe that worship and singing touches the heart of God. And I really believe that there's something inside of us that responds. See, they're like the orchestra. They're just kind of leading us in the presence of God. And maybe for some of you, if you're singing, you need to kneel. Maybe if you need to stand, I don't know if he's going to have a stand or not, but however he does, it's fine. But maybe you need to stand, and maybe you need to lift your hands. And remember, this is not a mandate. This is just like express yourself the way you need to. Maybe you want to come down forward and kneel. But my prayer for me and for you in 2017 is that you have awe, and you'll have action, and you'll have adoration. Let's worship.
The preceding podcast was a presentation of Sand Hills Community Church. You can sign up for our weekly podcast at www.sandhillschurch.org.